The scripture reading today comes from the first six verses of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. After these events, the Lord's word came to Abram in a vision. "Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your protector. Your reward will be very great." But Abram said, "Lord God, what can you possibly give me, since I still have no children? The head of my household is Eliezer, a man from Damascus." He continued, "Since you haven't given me any children, the head of my household will be my heir." The Lord's word came immediately to him, "This man will not be your heir. Your heir will definitely be by your very own biological child." Then he brought Abram outside and he said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you think you can count them." He continued, "This is how many children you will have." Abram trusted the Lord, and the Lord recognized Abram's high moral character. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did you hear about the guy who was confused when his wife said, "You haven't heard a word I have said, have you?" He thought, that's a strange way for somebody to start a conversation. God might seem like that guy in this morning's scripture reading. The first thing God says to Abram in this conversation is, "Fear not." Had God not noticed the opening narration of verse 1 in Genesis 15? After these events, what events? The previous chapter is the account of Abram's daring search and rescue. He had gone out with but a few men in pursuit of armies that had captured his allies, including his nephew Lot. Under the cover of darkness, he led an attack that was successful in defeating the enemy and securing the release of those who had been captured. Abram was already doing quite well. Possessions were being acquired. Power was being exercised. Things seemed to be going his way. Fear not certainly seems a strange way for God to begin a conversation with Abram, especially after these events. Even from among the spoils of loot and victory, Abram had been found out. Abram was probably a hero in the eyes of his relatives and family whom he had just rescued. He had been blessed by the priest Melchizedek. But God knew Abram was filled with fear. Fear about his own vulnerability. Fear about who would have come to his rescue if he had been the one who had been captured. Fear about still being without a son whom God had promised him. Abram had had many years in which to come to terms with the emptiness of his fear. He had spent his time writing a script of his own while he waited for God's promised story of blessing to unfold. Abram shared his well-rehearsed script of how things would probably go as he spoke with God. His trusted servant, Eliezer of Damascus, would probably be his power of attorney and his legal heir. Abram did what anyone who is fearful would do. He looked upon the thick darkness of the fear that engulfed him rather than upon the stars of promise that still filled the night sky above him. Now Abram seems to be like the guy who was confused because he hadn't paid attention to the first part of the conversation with God, a conversation of covenant and promise. Had Abraham forgotten the conversation with God that was recorded in Genesis chapter 12? Or had he simply faded from his memory like the stars above with the passing of time? Either way, it was time to recalibrate his spiritual GPS if he was going to live by faith. God told Abram to look up to the sky and count the stars if you think you can count them. God had a message for Abram. God wanted Abram to lift his troubled eyes from the fears that blinded him to what remained above him. God was calling Abram to open his imagination to the expanse of a new story and a host of promises still unspoken. Abram's head leaned back. His eyes looked up. Wow. He hadn't looked at the stars since forever. Hadn't even lifted his eyes in about as long. He was filled with wonder and awe at the beauty that had been there all along, if he had but lifted his eyes. Looking into the starry night, Abram let the vastness and beauty of God's promise chart his course. He would lift his eyes from his fear, and he would live by faith. It must have been pretty hard to believe from where Abram was standing, childless in old age, alone with his fears in the darkness of the night. But the very next verse of the conversation between Abram and God says, "And Abram believed the Lord." While it seems to depict a great deal of faith on Abram's part to believe such an unimaginable promise, maybe that didn't take a lot of faith. Sure, it's unbelievable, but it is what Abram wanted to believe, what he wanted to hear, what he had been waiting to hear for so long. In similar situations, when standing lost in our fears beneath the skies of our own dark nights, were we to hear the promise we had been waiting for the longest time, we too might instinctively believe what we heard, simply because it's what we've been wanting to hear. Tell anyone battling a disease that they will be healed. Tell anyone who is out of work that they will get the job they interviewed for. Tell anyone who is hungry that food will be abundant, and they too might believe it, because it is what they've been wanting to hear. While believing unimaginable promises might not be easy, believing promises that we want to hear might not be the hardest part of living by faith. It might be more difficult to wait in faith than it is to believe in faith. The waiting part of Abram's faith story gets lost in the broad strokes when Hebrews in chapter 11 we read, "By faith Abram obeyed, and when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance, he went without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land he had been promised as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of the same promise. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abram waited in the land he was promised as a stranger. Never settled, never feeling at home, never belonging. But the real struggle may be hidden in the living in tents part. Not that a tent was an unusual form of abode in Abraham's day. Everybody lived in tents. While hardship was involved, it was not out of the ordinary or beneath the living standard and living conditions of others. It was not a sacrifice. Living in tents speaks more to the difficulty of simply waiting in faith for the promise of God. Living in tents speaks of all the mundaneness of the many days, days that led to years and years that had led to a lifetime of waiting. Long after the glitz and glamour of the news and promise, and even after the birth of the promised son Isaac, there was a mundaneness of living the life in which he found himself, a life like that of, well, everybody else. I wonder if there were ever nights when Abraham crawled into his tent and asked himself, "What's a hero of faith like me doing in a place like this?" There he was, caught in the mundaneness of a day in the life. Him, Abraham, father of a great nation, caught up in the same day-to-day survival as everybody else. In contemporary terms, the writer of Hebrews might have said about Abraham, after a long day at work, he sat in traffic and got home to a mailbox full of bills. We all do it, and it certainly doesn't feel special, does it? Not in any kind of way. Yet, for Abraham, he was not like the other poor saps. Abraham was living by faith. Abraham was reaching for that hand that was just beyond his grasp. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Abraham was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham saw where he was. He knew that wasn't the place he would stay, and he continued to live by faith, looking forward to what was to come. In fact, Abraham died without receiving the full promise that God had made to him. Yet the epitaph of his life, offered in Genesis 25, verse 8, says, Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man, and satisfied with life. Bruce Maples writes, faith is not something we have to have enough of in order to do things or to change things or be this or that. It is not some sort of magic potion or some mental fake-out. It is instead a quiet, firm conviction that despite whatever evidence our current reality tries to throw at us, there is a God. That God is loving and good. And that loving and good God is both the ground of all being and the ultimate winning reality. A quiet, firm conviction. That's exactly what Diane was thinking when I asked her, what is faith? A quiet, firm conviction. That's a pretty good definition of living by faith. It is a perspective that is found by looking up to the beauty of the promises of God. It is a perspective that keeps our eyes always looking forward, even if looking forward must continually be toward the promise and not the actual attaining of that promise. It is a perspective that sees the beauty of God's presence beside us, guiding and sustaining us. Abraham knew he was never alone. He was living by faith. Living by faith is looking at life, and regardless of the circumstances, seeing God's presence and promise in it. Living by faith is letting the beauty and light of God's presence and promise guide your way. Living by faith sees the beauty that is before you, the beauty that is behind you, above and below you. Amen.